It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, new research shows that our galaxy may reside in a massive cosmic void. We'll learn what that could mean in a little bit.
First, the University of Wisconsin System regents have been meeting this week to hammer out the details of the 2017-2018 operating budget. Among the decisions, a vote to give more money to smaller campuses in the state.
Also, the regents opted to set what they called a guidepost for free speech on campuses. This comes as many state lawmakers want to pass a law that would punish students who disrupt speakers that they disagree with on campus.
Karen Herzog joins us now. She's the higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Karen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, let's look at this. It's a little bit of a new pocket of money here for the UW system, right? Can you talk about what the state is looking at giving the UW system and the money at play in this decision they made this week?
Well, the funding that was approved by the Joint Finance Committee, and again, this is a preliminary part of the process. The full legislature and the governor still need to sign off on this, but the Joint Finance Committee approved $25 million in new money for the UW system that would specifically be divided among campuses for various initiatives, expenses. And there's a new formula that actually was used the last time this happened in the previous budget when there was $25 million to be distributed. That formula favors the smaller campuses. UW-Madison, under traditional distribution of money, gets the lion's share, and it continues to get the lion's share. However, in this case, UW-Milwaukee got the most, and Madison got less, and some of the other campuses got more than they normally would, which has created a backlash among supporters of UW-Madison.
And this is something that was supported by almost all the regents. What was the argument in favor of allocating this money in a formula that gives proportionally less to UW-Madison?
Well, it's all about need and the impact of past budget cuts. The several campuses don't have very many non-resident students. They don't have international students. They don't have professional schools. Madison has all three in great numbers. And that is viewed as an alternative revenue source that gives Madison a big advantage. So it's looked at as a way to sort of even the playing field, in a sense, for the budget cuts. However, UW-Madison sees it as the flagship has taken the largest share of the past budget cuts. And now there's concern that this formula for dividing one-time money is changing, and that, you know, the success that Madison has had is being held against it, and that is pitting campuses against each other as they scramble to get the most money they can from the state.
On some of the smaller campuses, the argument is that the cuts that have come in recent years to the overall system, they've taken their share of those, and that's really, they've had to do some serious changes and cutbacks in staffing and other spending. Is that right?
That's right. The smaller campuses don't have something else that UW-Madison has a larger share of, and that's, but well, keep in mind, Madison also has higher costs and a higher ability to keep faculty that are leaving because of budget issues. But the smaller campuses don't have the ability to raise all of this money, and they have had to cut faculty. And there's a lot of concern that they're having trouble managing with what they have, and there doesn't appear to be any big funding increases in the future for the UW system. So it's a continued effect of not being able to recover from those cuts and not getting big help otherwise.
Now, this is an argument over $25 million. How does that stack up compared to the whole UW system budget?
Well, the whole UW system budget is actually $6.2 billion. And it's probably important to note that UW-Madison still gets the rest of its state funding allocation under the standard formula. So it's not getting a funding cut. UW-Madison, in this case, its operating budget, its base budget, is still going to increase by $69.7 million. And then if you look at just tuition and state funding together, of course, tuition is a big growth area for UW-Madison. The flagship will gain 5.7% in funding. So it's important to be clear that this is not cutting UW-Madison. It's just changing the way in which additional new money is divided among campuses.
Talking to Karen Herzog from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at some recent decisions this week from UW Regents as they get ready for a new budget picture. Also, on the staying on the money side of things, Karen, the Regents decided to raise student fees. There's this tuition freeze, of course, but fees can go up some. What is included in that?
Well, all the campuses have student fees that students pay for things like, you know, student government, activities that like student organizations, use of the student union, recreation, and all of those things, plus their housing costs. So when you add it all up, the fees that are going up for housing, the student seg fees, they're called seg fees, and also like meal plans, we're seeing some increases that are, some would say, are hidden, because we always talk about tuition. For example, at Madison, the total increase between seg fees, room rates, and meal plan is $321. And those costs together, if keep that in mind, that this is increasing the total cost of college. A year of being at UW-Madison for undergrads is $19,562 for the next fiscal year.
And did these fees go up similar amounts on different campuses, or is there a range of changes?
There is a range. That's a really good point. And it varies by type of fee. Seg fees also support, like if there are students that, or excuse me, if there are campuses that are building new unions and recreation facilities, that's where that money comes in. The students are paying for those things, and those are approved by students on a pretty small margin of votes. They actually have referendums, but few students participate. And so they're basically committing future students to pay the debt on those buildings that they're approving. Those future students are going to be paying for the next 30 years, long after they're gone.
And then the Regents tackle an issue that's been in the news, controversial. There's been an effort in the state legislature to have what they're calling, in some cases, free speech guidelines that would punish students who interrupt speakers on campus. Their goal to keep intellectual diversity on campus. The Regents had their own take on something like this. What did they come up with?
Well, the Regents policy, it's not really policy. It's called, they refer to it as a guidepost. And it doesn't impose penalties, as what some lawmakers would like to see. It basically says, here's what we want our campuses to do. We want them to be alert to honor opposing views and promote a civil discourse. So all of the things that the legislature is talking about, expelling, you know, suspending students who are repeat offenders, none of those things are in that guidepost. However, there are separate rules, there's separate, actually, UW system policies within state statute that lay out possible penalties for students who are disruptive repeatedly in protests and that kind of thing. So the Regents would say those things already are in their policies, and they don't need to add them in this guidepost, that this is simply restating their belief of the importance of free expression on campuses.
And where is this proposal from the legislature in the legislative process?
Well, the Assembly passed this bill it's the first piece of this, passed it on a party line vote last month. I believe it was a 61-36 party line vote, no Democrats in favor. The Senate hasn't committed to a timeline for taking up a measure there, and Governor Walker has said that he's receptive to the idea, so we're looking at several months down the road. And I did get a statement from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss today saying that what the Regents did really wasn't enough, that they really feel like there needs to be, within policy on academic freedom, those penalties for students who repeatedly disrupt campus speakers.
And while we can't predict for sure, but is there any indication that the Senate is maybe going to take this up, or might be persuaded by what the UW Regents did this week, that they don't need to follow up on what the Assembly did?
It's going to be interesting to watch. I don't know if it will resurface because, again, there's been no commitment to pick it up, although I think the pressure will continue among GOP lawmakers to address this in the way that they think is most important for preserving conservative voices on campus. This is an issue that's not going to go away.
Karen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Karen Herzog, higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joined us today for a look at decisions made at this week's UW Regents meetings.